suffering servant that they crucified. And so from the very first verse of his gospel, Matthew ticks a bunch of people off. And can I tell you who those people are? They are the good people of society. They're the people that are the churchgoers, temple worshipers in that day. But today, to help you understand, they are the very people that we would want our children to be around and their families. They are the people that we would all want to emulate. These are good, solid citizens and the people that worshipped Yahweh. Those are the people he's taking off. Just like some of you may get ticked off tonight. Because the reality of it is that Matthew's message is no different than my message, and that is that Jesus is the one you seek. Jesus is the one you seek. Sometimes we think we got to find a better church. Sometimes we got to think that we got to be a part of this particular ministry. Sometimes we take good things and we make them more important than Jesus. Some of you are living in depression and discouragement and religion because Jesus isn't enough for you. And from the very beginning, Matthew wants us to understand who Jesus is. He wants us to understand that if you're looking for anyone or anything other than Jesus, you're looking in the wrong place. And even good religious people miss God, even in the church. Now, some of you have become so arrogant today that you think, you know what, I don't really need the church. That's not your choice. The Word of God calls the church the body of Christ. We are the Christ representative before this world. This world out there needs to see Jesus through you and me, but we have a witness and a testimony of being the church. That's why division is not optional. That's why not serving in the local body of Christ is not optional. That's why this thing we call church hopping is not optional. You can hop all you want straight to hell. And yet we don't think about the reality of who He is and what He's done. And so today we begin a series, True Righteousness Revealed, in hopes that we will have an understanding that the same righteousness that was withheld from the religious people of Jesus' day, and then consequently those who are under their leadership, can be withheld from us today, even in the church. Because so much of our righteousness today is self-righteousness. So much of our righteousness today is us creating a list that we can meet and that we can fulfill and that we find churches that do it the way we want them to do it. That's why I love the way we planted churches. I mean, basically, we just kind of said, y'all got to go. And because you love Jesus more than you love me, more than you love Living Hope College Station, you have left. People in New Life have left. Because why? It's about Jesus. It's not about us. It's about His kingdom come, His will being done on earth as it is in heaven. And what's so beautiful about it, it's about setting up a unity between the three churches that quite frankly scares a lot of people. Because people want to be in control. People want to have everything figured out. People want it to be the way they want it. Because Jesus isn't enough. And so I come to you with the same message I think Matthew came in. That is to tell you that Jesus is the one you seek. He's the one. Whether He heals you or not, whether your husband or wife are changed or not, whether things are really going to work out the way you want them to or not, Jesus is enough. And church, if Jesus isn't enough for us, why in the world would we think that the world out there would listen to us? You know, anybody can follow Jesus if everything always went well. Anybody could follow Jesus if it was easy to follow Jesus. But that's why He, every now and then, if you'll notice with me, every now and then when the crowd increased, Jesus would just preach a sermon that would just rock their world. And a lot of people would fall away. I mean, when you start telling people to hate their father, mother, wife, and children, even their own life, or they can't be your disciple, I'm telling you right, that's not good for church growth. But that's what He said in Luke 14. And he said to deny yourself and to take up your cross daily and follow him. So suffering and self-denial is part of the gig whenever you're called to follow Jesus Christ. It's never supposed to be about us. And it's certainly not supposed to be about how good we can make it in this world. Now, it's really hard for me to come and preach into an American church after being in Malawi, where people would sit on the ground for over an hour, including young children, and listen to us preach the gospel without even planning to do it. Man, I was so glad that Chad gave it to me late, but I just want y'all to know it's already 6:48. So when I don't finish for a long time, don't blame it on me. The boy went long. Alan decided to go for a 30-minute baby dedication. I mean, it was just amazing. And I love it. But just know that I'm coming from a country that literally, I mean, we weren't even playing. In the middle of the day, we said, hey, go get everybody in the village. We're fixing to preach. And they came. And gobs of people got saved. Because we were the best show in town. Some of them ain't ever seen white folks before. And so they're just thinking, wow. And then they hear the message of life. And to be able to pray over people. And to be able to pray for God's healing. And for God to set them free was a beautiful and wonderful thing. So I come here to talk to you about this true righteousness. And I'm afraid because of self-righteousness, even in the church today, we need the revelation. And we need to understand that the only way that the Sermon on the Mount is ever going to happen in our lives is once we've responded to the gospel. But then once you respond to the gospel, you must never get to a point in your Christian life to where you think, man, I'm good. I got it all figured out. There ain't no area that I need to grow. There's no area I need to change. When you do that, you begin to understand the true grace that Jesus came to reveal. And let me just say this before you ever get to the series. What's so beautiful about the Sermon on the Mount is that it starts off with just reminding us of how our God is a blessing God. Literally, when we walk in disobedience, when we walk in self-righteousness, what we're doing is we are withholding and withdrawing from the very blessing of God. God's got a bigger shuffle. Anytime we give anything to God, He responds with blessing. His favor, His grace, His mercy, His blessing, He wants to heap upon us, but we got to be humble. Because if we're prideful, we put ourselves in opposition to God. And so if you're here today and you're saying, man, I just don't feel so blessed. It's not because God doesn't want to bless you. It's not because God's left you. It's because you're trying to make it on your own. It's because you're thinking, man, that's enough, God. That's all you're getting from me. When you hold something back from God, what you're really doing is you are withholding God's blessing from you because He will not bless you in your disobedience. We learned that through our study in Malachi. You can choose blessings or you can choose cursing. And some of you are under God's curse because of your willful rebellion against the clear teaching of the Word of God. And so I just want you to understand this true righteousness that's going to be revealed through this series is that God is ever looking to bless His people. But it looks different than maybe what you thought. So verse number one, he starts off by telling us that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the one you're seeking, the one you've been waiting for years and years and years. Everything you've ever wanted, He's the one and you rejected Him. And so Matthew, from the very beginning, starts with this message to make sure that we understand it. But then let me continue by making sure that we understand who Jesus is. First of all, He is physically a descendant from the family line of King David and from Abraham. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. He was supernaturally conceived through the Virgin Mary. Chapter 1, verses 18 through 24. His birth was announced through the heavens. God somehow orchestrated events in the heaven to make sure people know that the Messiah had been born enough to where they followed the star to Bethlehem. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. His life as a child was supernaturally protected. He could have been murdered had God not intervened. Chapter 2, verses 12 through 23. He was the one for whom John the Baptist prepared the way. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. He was baptized by John to fulfill all righteousness. chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. He was the one the Holy Spirit lighted upon and the Father was pleased with and called His beloved Son. Chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. He was led by the Holy Spirit out into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan, where He was victorious over Satan. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. It was a foreshadowing of the victory that was to come. Just a foreshadowing of, oh yeah, I mean, He commands Satan to get out of the way. That's who He is. And then in verses 12 through 25 of chapter 4, He preached a message of repentance and did many miracles and called disciples to Himself. Who is this Jesus? He is the promised Messiah. He is the incarnate one, God in flesh. He is exalted. He is victorious. He is the Messiah. He is the one you and I seek. Or He's the one we should be seeking tonight. You see, if we become so clever in the church that you enjoy us more than you enjoy Him, we have led you astray. It's not about people or personality. It's about the God-man, the unique Son of God who came to bring hope and forgiveness to a lost and dying world. He came to preach a message of reconciliation, a message of hope, a message of peace in the very real experiences of life. He doesn't say that that life's going to be easy after we get saved. In fact, Scripture throughout promises that it's going to do nothing but get worse. That's why we need to count the cost. And that's why many in the crowd would leave when He had preached these hard messages. And so Matthew wanted to make sure that we knew that the one that was fixing to lay down a gauntlet and say, this needs to change, is the very Messiah God that they've been waiting for. And so whenever He sits down and He teaches His disciples, chapter 5, verse 1, in the midst of the crowd, He is reminding us that discipleship is always taught and lived amongst the crowd. Even in the church today, there is a crowd. There are people that like the music, that like the preaching, that like the programs, but they don't love Jesus. That's why we're no different than the world around us. And so Jesus lays down a gauntlet and says in chapter 5, verse 20, "For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." That's the same gauntlet that I lay down today. And that the Sermon on the Mount makes us consider to set us free from self-righteousness, reminding us that we can only live this according to the gospel of grace, but also keeping us humble, because there should not be a single believer who looks at the Sermon on the Mount and says, "Oh, I got all that down." Liar. Because much freedom and much blessing can come if we'll just let God's Spirit humble us and show us the beautiful blessings that God wants to give. And so that's our hope for you, is that you'll be encouraged, that you'll be challenged, that you'll get a chance to understand what God makes available to you, so that you'll never again settle for mediocrity, which leads to mediocre blessing, that you'll never again think that it's about finding a better church, a better teacher, a better whatever, but it's just simply about knowing Him. You will never obey Him like the Great Commandment and Great Commission teach us to love Him and then love others and then to make disciples of all nations and teaching them to obey everything Jesus commanded unless you fall in love with Him. So who is Jesus to you? You see, one of the things that God's reminded me of is as we begin this series is that unless we as individuals think that Jesus is enough, we're going to continue to be just as depressed, just as discouraged, just as carnal, just as materialistic as the world outside. If Jesus isn't enough, then you'll never be satisfied. You'll never have peace. You'll never be where you want to be. Every church is going to be screwed up. But when Jesus is enough, you can live with that. And so I wonder if He's enough for you today. Who is He? C.S. Lewis, I think, challenges us concerning Christ in a way that is still very relevant in our culture in his book, Mere Christianity. Here's what he says. He says, I'm, I'm trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. Still common today. A great moral teacher, a great prophet, a great man, a great leader. In fact, the Mormons will tell you someone that you can be. That Jesus is God only because he worked his way to deity, and if he'll do enough good work, so can you. And then C.S. Lewis goes on to say, that is one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on a level with a man who says he's a poached egg. I don't know why C.S. Lewis used a poached egg. I mean, it's just what he used. Or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool. You can spit at him and kill him as a demon. Or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. And he did not intend to. When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through me, that's truth. And for you and me, which 50% of American Christians do, for you and me to say that all roads lead to the same place, we are false teachers and false prophets. And you need to get that settled today. And you need to be willing to shout it from the mountaintops. Why? Because he's the one that they seek. And when we lie to them, we're not helping them. We are leading them straight to hell. And we have become a tool of the devil to preach a false gospel. You say, well, Butch, I don't want to be offensive. The gospel is offensive. Do you not understand what he went through for you? Do you understand that he was beaten and spit upon and had his beard pulled out, wore a crown of thorns, was hung on a cruel cross, was buried and arose victorious over sin and death so that you could have hope and forgiveness? Of course it's offensive. That's why the most popular preacher in America today will not mention the blood or mention sin. Because it's offensive. But it's our only hope for forgiveness in heaven. He is the one you seek. He is enough in discouraging time. He is enough when you're being persecuted. He is enough when your wife is mocking you. He is enough when all your friends are bad-mouthing you because you won't go out and party with them. He is enough whenever it looks like this world is going to hell in a handbasket. He's enough because it is. Is he enough for you? As you think about it tonight, who is Jesus to you? Is he the Son of God? Is he the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Is he your only hope for forgiveness in heaven? Is he your reason for living? Is he the one that motivates you in the decisions of your life? Is he the one who's brought you a new birth? Is Jesus Lord? Liar or lunatic? Because he has not left it, Christian, as an option for you just to think he's a good moral teacher. But along with that, as you reflect upon who he is, I think it's important for you to understand the message that he came preaching in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Because Jesus went through all the things that I talked to you about. He went through the temptation in the desert, and yet look at his first message. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, we find, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent. Turn from sin and self to Christ, trusting in his finished work alone. He says, though, the kingdom of heaven is near. kingdom. Anytime you see that in Scripture, you need to think about the rule and reign of God. In other words, what Jesus did is Jesus came from heaven to earth to bring heaven a little bit closer. That's why when I say that church is heaven practice, I'm not joking. We are to allow the Spirit of God to take the Word of God to prepare us to be kingdom citizens and kingdom saints. In other words, living for Jesus and being great and enjoying Him doesn't just happen when we die. Eternal life begins the instant, the moment that you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Listen, y'all, no one's got it going on like believers. But I'm going to tell you, I look at you right now with your bitter beer faces and you wouldn't think it. I mean, you act like your life is so horrible. Come on. We got it going on. Not because we're anything special, but because Jesus is enough. And because He's not enough for so many of you, you've allowed your circumstances to trump the truth that Jesus is enough. Or worse, what you've done is you try to put your foot, one foot in the world and one foot in Jesus, and man, it ain't pleasant there. It's not pleasant there. Jesus came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. But y'all, that's not the testimony of most believers. It's not the testimony of most marriages in the church today. That's not the testimony of most churches today. I'm going to tell you right now, there are probably people that got freaked out tonight by the way y'all worship. Got a bunch of happy clappies here. I mean, y'all weird. Y'all are just weird. Amen. Amen. And I just think we need to understand the reality, the reason that we can be excited about the words in those songs is because they're truth. They're directly out of Scripture. Do y'all understand that we evaluate the songs we sing at Living Hope to make sure we're not reinforcing lies or worse, being fluffy? I mean, the last thing in the world y'all need is just something that appeals to your flesh. You need to speak truth into your life. And that's why as the church gathered, the ecclesia of God, the called out ones, as we gather to encourage one another and to meet with one another and to see, man, we're not alone in this thing. That's why transparency in the church is so important. Because we need to be able to have other people bear our burdens with us. We need people to rejoice with us when we rejoice. And we need people to mourn with us when we mourn. Yet the enemy will keep us isolated. And the enemy will tell us that God's holding out on us. He left heaven, sent His only unique Son. He let Him come. Why? So that you and I would have hope of forgiveness. And so I wonder today, if Jesus has become your Lord and Savior and your only hope for forgiveness in heaven, or if you just believe those things but you've not allowed Him to impact your life. You say, well, Butch, man, I'm a good person. Man, listen. In fact, just, I want you to listen to John's words. I just want to make sure that you hear this from Scripture. Look at what John says about him. Let's just go with chapter 3. Chapter 3. I think sometimes, y'all don't realize how much of a wimp I am. Verse 7. Matthew chapter 3. Did I say John? Yeah, Matthew chapter 3. We're still in Matthew, my bad, but John is talking. That's what happens when you get old. See, y'all. But Jesus is enough, okay? I mean, you know, I'm losing all my hair and can't hardly walk anymore, but I'll tell you, He's enough. He is enough. John, Matthew chapter 3, verse 7. But when He saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to where He was baptizing, He said to them, "You brood of vipers." Now don't miss this. These were the best society had. These were good people. These weren't the wicked people that you think of. They're out, we're doing all the sinning. These were people that literally were the religious leaders of the day. He's talking to those people. Crazy. You're crazy. They could have killed them all, they did. But that's later. "You brood of vipers." Listen to this. "Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. Do you understand that for religious people that were from the line of Abraham, this meant some really special things to them? They thought just because of their heritage, because of their genealogy alone, that's all that really mattered. They had created a system of beliefs that just followed the works of the law without having a relationship with God. Without humbling them and admitting, you know what, we can never be righteous before a holy God except for His blood. Except because of the sacrifices of blood that we make. Why? Because without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. So anyway, you just continue to see this, but John is preaching to them the same way I'm trying to preach to you. He says, the axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Just because you're a descendant of Abraham, and because you're a Pharisee or a Sadducee, don't think you're going to heaven. If there's not fruit, what fruit? I submit to you the Sermon on the Mount. I submit to you the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I submit to you that if we don't get humble enough to admit, man, God, there's still a lot of things that I need you to teach me. And if it's not burdening us to grow and to learn, then there's a big problem in our spiritual walk. And if all we can do is maintain our spirituality for 3 or 4 weeks because we're doing it in our flesh whenever we hear a sermon and the Spirit of God brings conviction, but then we don't ever accept the salvation that's offered through Jesus Christ, we got a real problem. And that was my testimony. Man, I would get under conviction because I went out and got drunk one night and I got home and don't even know how I got home. And I can remember times, literally, I see them like it happened right now, where I would get down on my knees bawling like a baby telling God I'll never do it again. And may do it the very next day. Because I didn't have the power to change. I didn't have the power to be different. And see, it's only when you and I accept the gospel that God did for us what He did for us, and that's our only hope for forgiveness in heaven. Whenever we understand that we only live the Christian life by grace and through faith, and we become a new creation at that instant. The way we used to have to walk, we don't have to walk anymore. But we've come to a point where we realize that Jesus is enough, and Jesus is our only hope. And we quit setting up a system of religiosity. And we quit trying to merit favor on our own works. We quit trying to make God love us more or avoid God loving us less, as if we forget that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You cannot mess up God's love. And that's what Matthew's trying to make sure these people understand. Before he ever records the Sermon on the Mount, he's trying to make sure that they understand, man, He's the Messiah. He's the unique monogenes, the Son of God. The only begotten one of a kind Son of God who the Holy Spirit of God lit upon and who God said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Isn't that what we're waiting for? Isn't that really all we want to hear down the road? Well done, my good and faithful servant. He's the one that we need to live to please, not one another. Now, the good news is when we fall in love with Him and we experience His love, we can't help but love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Why? Because we realize how much He loves us. And love will take you way further than law ever will. And that's what Matthew wants us to get. Is the one you seek is Jesus. And that's what I want you to understand. Man, you don't need a better church. You don't need better preachers. You don't need better worship leaders. You don't need more money. You don't need a better husband or a better wife. You just need to understand that Jesus is enough. That's what you need to understand today. And can I tell you, He is. I've tried it both ways. And I continue to try it both ways. Okay? Because some of us are just harder learners than the rest of you. Even as a born-again believer, there are times in my life that I still try to do too much in my own strength. Okay? And I forget in the midst of hard circumstances. Like being betrayed or being ridiculed or being persecuted. Or being disciplined. Can I tell you why I twisted my ankle 2 times? First of all, someone from Living Hope gave me a pair of tennis shoes that were faulty, man. He already confessed, man, I've twisted my ankle in those shoes a couple times too. So thanks. But the first time I twisted is because I was just talking and missed some stairs. That's a little freak accident. I know y'all are surprised I was talking. But after I did that, God just really impressed upon my heart, you know, you need to spend more time with me. The pastor's conference is tomorrow, and you're not ready. Well, then, at the end of the day, man, they were going to go out doing some street evangelism. Now, who don't want to go out and do street evangelism? I ain't never done street evangelism in Africa. I was fired up. But I knew, man, I wasn't supposed to go do street evangelism. I was supposed to be studying. So I'll be, if there wasn't this little bitty embarrassing pothole, talking again to this new brother, Abusa James, that I just met. And I'll be, if I didn't twist it and I felt it rip up in there. I was getting a honey whooping by God. So I had to walk back, and I just had to tell, you know, I'm just, you know, just dragging my, it was so bad. But for 2 hours while they were out doing street evangelism, I got to pray for them and got to meet with God. It was beautiful. By the next day, I was on my way back. I mean, don't get me wrong now, I was scared to death. I was going to twist my ankle again. I mean, I didn't know what was going to happen. But by 2 days later, it was like I didn't even have a messed up ankle. I was preaching at that pastor's conference like I was a crazy man. We did Daniel in the lion's den. I mean, man, I had to get down in the lion's den and stuff. Man, no one even knew that I had a messed up ankle. Man, it was all sorts of colors. Why? Because God was going to take care of me. But listen, we gotta continue to listen to him. I was mad at first. I'm not going to lie to you, man. I wanted to go out street evangelism. Well, good news is I got to do it later. The good news is later in the week, I got a chance to go do that on numerous occasions. And so just understand that when God speaks, his will, his word is enough. Even when we can't figure it out, because his ways are not our ways, neither his thoughts our thought. And so whenever you see that God can supernaturally from 1,000 years prior fulfill the prophecies that he fulfilled, surely he can handle your and my life. Surely he can handle the issues and the plans that he has for us. We've got to trust him. And so for some of you tonight, that's going to be something that you need to do for the very first time. You're good, good, good people. But you know behind closed doors that you live for the devil instead of living for Jesus. And you've tried for years and years and years to clean yourself up, to fix yourself up, to heal yourself up, to do whatever. For others of you, you're here tonight and you're saying, you know what, Butch, Jesus isn't enough. I gotta have what I want in every area of life. But let me just go ahead and just tell you some bad news. You ain't ever going to have everything you want in life. And if you do, you better watch out. Because the devil's got you right where he wants you. Why? He don't mind you having a good life on this world. But if you have a good life on this world without Jesus, hell ain't going to be fun. Because you don't go to heaven because you're good. And you don't go to hell because you're bad. You only go to heaven because you're saved. Because you've trusted in the finished work of Jesus Christ alone. So I don't know what you're seeking tonight. But the one you seek is Jesus. And he's enough. Let's pray together. Father, forgive us whenever we chase after and choose the good things and people of this world and forget about you. You are the fulfillment of prophecy, Lord Jesus. And I thank you for Matthew's reminder to us that you are enough. And so I just pray for religious people in here tonight that they would understand it's not their religion that's going to get them to heaven. That they would make sure that they have a saving faith relationship with Jesus Christ. That they would understand today how much you love them. So much so that you let your son hang on the cruel cross for them. But I'll thank you that he arose victorious over sin and death on the third day so that we too could arise victorious over sin and death. I pray for repentance in this place tonight. For those who need to get saved, that they'll turn from trying to earn their own way to heaven and that they would trust in the gospel. The finished work of Jesus Christ alone is their only hope for forgiveness. For others of us, that we would repent of our self-righteousness. That we would repent of our loss of faith in you and you being enough in our lives. chasing after things and people of this world, even good things, rather than chasing after you. Would you show us tonight that the only way this is going to happen is in Jesus Christ? That it's only in Christ alone that we can ever experience forgiveness and peace and heaven. Remind us tonight that you are enough, Jesus. Perhaps some tonight even need to just apologize to others in the body, or to their spouse, or to their friends, because they've been expecting things from them that you've never promised. I just pray for healing in this place today. I thank you for this place and for these people. Let them see anew that you desire to bless them for your glory. But it's going to require humility, and it's going to require repentance. I look forward to seeing truth and true righteousness revealed through this series. Bless this church. Bless these people. And bring souls into your kingdom, we pray. For Christ's sake and for His glory. Amen.